Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Ngwenya, good afternoon to you, sir. Are you well, Pastor?
I'm doing well, my brother.
Good.
I hope you are doing well as well.
Yes, doing well. Thank you. Now I can hear you. You were mute there just for a second. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I do hope that your day has been good too.
Oh, the Lord has been good.
Lovely.
And I greet the listeners in the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen indeed. Now, if you are a listener and you're joining us for the first time today and you missed yesterday's session, well, yesterday we established the battleground. What is the battleground and what's happening there? And today we're going to be looking at the enemy's strategy, the worldly mindset. So do feel welcome in this conversation. You're definitely going to be catching up well with Pastor Ngwenya here. Now, the world has a blueprint for your life. Yes, built on comparison, scarcity, and self-preservation. Now, this mindset is like the air we breathe, invisible, but constantly influencing our choices. We see it in the frantic pursuit of wealth at the expense of family and the obsession with public validation. But Romans 12:2 commands us to stop letting the world squeeze us into its mold. Today, we pull back the curtain on the secular mindset to discover why it stands in direct opposition to the gospel. Pastor, Romans 12:2, as we mentioned, mentions the pattern of this world. What is the current cultural pattern regarding success and happiness?
Well, we discover that the world approach to it is for us to acquire much wealth so that we are deemed happy and successful. So that is for status recognition in society. So it builds itself around that you seek to have all that you desire. All that you desire, then you become happy. And out of it, then you feel that you have come to your self-actualization, self-realization, and you have achieved, you know, the status of being a human being.
Now, 1 John 2:15-16 mentions the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How do these three traps manifest in modern media?
Right. We are having a lot of, let me just look at the three of them individually. The lust of the flesh, this is a counterfeit love that replaces sacrifice with selfishness, and ultimately it damages our relationships and our spiritual health. Therefore, the lust of the flesh is the temptation to flirt around with one of opposite sex. You see, and this also tends to that you spend too much time for those that I've realized we are having a high number of people that are addicted to pornography in this day and age. And this is so high in young people, in our youth. When we have seminars with youths, we find that they are so into pornography, into nudity, watching movies or anything that exposes the female bodies to almost 100% without any dressing. But a typical example in the Bible, we see that King David also was affected with the lust of the flesh in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14 when she saw Bathsheba bathing, you know. So we need to be vigilant because this is what it is thrown to us in this day and age. And then the lust of the eyes relates to seeing whatever you see, you desire. Adam and Eve, they saw the forbidden tree, that it was good for them. So we have a generation of people today through the devil who's casting all these things that we desire, even things that we should not have, we should not touch, we should not even consume. And this then degenerates us not having a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Possession leads men to spend long hours in the office, in their Uber, driving, trying to make money, hustling, this and that. People are not sleeping nowadays. Some are working 18 hours and they're always high on caffeine, trying to make money. At the end of it all, it's what? It destroys their physical bodies, their health, and their spiritual lives. Mm-hmm. So these are the three that the devil is casting towards us. And we need to be cautious on that.
Yeah, and we definitely need to be cautious on that. Now, you know, in a culture obsessed with self-care and self-promotion, what does kingdom selflessness look like in a university or workplace setting?
Uplift others first.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what I can say in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Become a servant leader. Put others first, their interest. You know, I love this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, and also in the same book or same letter of Paul, chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. The part that I love is this one that follows.
Mm-hmm.
It does not dishonor others.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not self-seeking. You see, so this is what I want to address. It's not about you. You do not, trample on others so that you become the CFO, the head of department, or the manager or the director, but you put others first, their interest, so that you build them and they see that you are a servant of God.
Very
and then in Philippians, just before we go there, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, as he writes to the Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm speaking about. When you put others first, you value others more than yourself. I just paraphrased the verse.
Yeah. Not an easy one at all, actually. Now, how does the world's definition of freedom differ fundamentally from the kingdom's definition of freedom?
All right. So the freedom of the world is defined as a power, the power to do right, act and say what you want without anyone stopping or controlling you. So you can say as you please. We see what's happening in our society as we speak, maybe in the context of South Africa. People have the freedom of speech, and sometimes it boils and it creates chaos. But when we look at the kingdom definition of freedom, it differs in the sense that we are liberated from the bondage of sin to serve God's purpose. That is, as it is reflected in John 8, verse 36, if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. So we have boundaries in our freedom, that in whatever we do, there is a God that we need not to sin against, or that we do not need to dishonor in that freedom that He has given us.
How can parents who are listening now help their children recognize and deconstruct worldly messages in music, in movies, and school culture?
Right. And this speaks to the parents that are parenting the teens, because we see a lot of our teens are so absorbed into worldly music and the school culture that exposes them to so many things. But what I love is there are three points that I want us to just note. Number one is to follow Christ's lead as parents. That means, would Jesus, as we interact with our children, would Jesus watch this, my son or my daughter? Would Jesus listen to this kind of music? So we need this Christ-like approach, that would Jesus continue in this path of watching such things, listening to this? And you also model. The second point is you model, practice what you preach. Because there are some parents who will say, you must not listen to this. And the next thing, in their happy moments, they are dancing to that worldly music. You understand. And then the child now wonders, But daddy or mommy, they say, no. We are just in a frenzy. Now we are in a happy mood. So you need as a parent to model. And the third part of it is enter your kids' world, right? Understand them, not in the context. I'm nearly 50, let me say. So I'm a father of four. Yeah. So I must enter. I've got three teens. Right, one, and a primary child who's below 10 years. Mm. So I must enter their world, different in their age groups, but I must enter their world, understand them from their world, and work with them within the confines of their age. You know, in our early 90s, it's quite different parenting, how I was parented, how I was taken care by my parents then, and with this generation that we have. But there are two or so verses that I would have loved to read, but let me just pause here due to time constraints.
Well, I think we do have a little bit of time, Pastor. I'd really like to hear those scriptures, please, if you don't mind.
All right. There is a verse that says, Job made a covenant. Job 31, verse 1. I won't read it, but I'll just give an insight of it, a paraphrase.
Yes.
A paraphrase. It says, Job made a covenant with his eyes not to focus on worthless and destructive things, you understand?
Yeah.
So Job decided. So these are the things that we bring as we look at the Hebrew boys as well. You know, it was not only about food in Babylon. I think there was also music, the Babylonian music, you know. It would hypnotize the entire nation whenever it would be played. But these chose not to adhere to anything that is foreign to them. So this is the kind of approach that we need to enter into with our children on whatever they seems to be trending. It seems to be good, yet it is ungodly.
And I like the wording that you're using, seems, because you know, you could be fooled that it's good, but it actually only seems to be good. Now, Pastor, what role does fear play in keeping people trapped in a worldly mindset?
And then we need to note that the Israelites, you know, after God had delivered them in so many instances, but in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, we discover that they were trapped also in this fear, you know, when they heard about the giants in the promised land. So out of that, fear then detected their actions. So fear can detect how you respond to certain things in this world. So fear acts as a master mechanism to control, of control that anchors people to a worldly mindset. So it distracts us. It moves us from trusting God and his promises. And then it gives us an alternative way of doing things. Yet God has promised that we shall not fear. We will overcome. So in this instance, the Israelites were so fearful and they forgot that the same God is the one that liberated them. Where? In Egypt.
Yep.
The same God, when even Pharaoh came back to his senses and ventured to go and capture them again, they saw him drowning with his horses and chariots and also with his soldiers, you know. So this is what fear does. Now they're towards the promised land. Now they fear as if God was never there before. If God will do nothing. So our God can do everything for us as long the fear does not override the promises of God and how God has led us in the past.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, Pastor, how can, you know, the listeners audit their daily media intake to see what mindset it is feeding?
All right. I follow a lot of seminars that deal with parenting teens and social media, how as parents we should assist them. One of the key things is we should monitor the time that we spend on the screen. We should track, you know, we should do a daily audit of media intake, track your screen time, and your emotional responses across news, podcast, and social platforms, like what we are seeing, the xenophobic utterances. There are some that are even developing, you know, some foreigners, some who are not even documented. They are getting even sick, you know, physically. You know, the trauma and all the fear that they have because they are not managing what they should hear, what they should see. So it is very important that you should look at that. Compare these inputs directly with the biblical filters that you assess whether you have what you consume builds your mindset or it destroys your flesh. It causes anxiety or it causes joy. Does it bring anger or it brings the Spirit of God that gives you peace and that gives you truth? In Psalms 101 verse 3, as I wrap up, David then declares, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So we should have that mindset that we audit, we track, and we avoid seeing things that will cause a lot of unhappiness, a lot of distress upon us.
Well, Pastor, we have come to the end of this very important, very, very exciting conversation this afternoon. I must thank you so much for coming through. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you so, so much, Pastor.
You're welcome. Stay blessed.
Thank you. Stay blessed.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.